It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 349. It is December 17, 2015. Well, when Jesus comes to the desperate human heart, who can resist? I made mention of kicking against the goad in my scripture and in yesterday's talking also. That's from the conversion story of Saul. You remember that? Saul of Tarsus. Saul was dead set against Jesus. His heart was hard. One doesn't get more venomous in his attacks against Christians than to go out and kill them. He was so very sure that his place in life was to annihilate the Christian name and the Christian witness. And then Jesus came. And it was quietly at first, or at least so it seems, a little nudge here and there. I suppose viewing the victorious death of that first martyr, Stephen, surely helped. Holy Spirit beginning to work. The shepherd's stick beginning to cause greater and greater pain. Here's this lost sheep, literally a sheep out on the hillside, and the shepherd coming along and taking the goad and getting that sheep back where it belongs. And Paul was feeling that but didn't know what it meant. Perhaps thought it was the devil trying to distract him, and he decided he would be strong. And he got stronger and stronger. Perhaps Saul was saying, what's happening to me? Why am I having all these thoughts? Why am I having all this doubt and fear? I never worried about this stuff before. Why now? What's going on here? Why am I losing my enthusiasm for all this? Why the doubts about Moses and the law? It's been good. It's all I've known since a child. It's good. It's good. It's God. It's holy. The Pharisaic way of life, there is nothing better than that. Got to get rid of this Jesus. He's disturbing everything and everyone. Then Jesus came. Big time. You know the story from there, right? On the road to Damascus. And you now recall the words that Jesus spoke. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goad. That's the idea. The goad, the stick used by shepherds to push their sheep into the right place when the sheep are going the wrong way. God's grace is the goad. God's grace is entering in. New thoughts. Hadn't had these before. And not only haven't I had them, but they're starting to make sense. Human habit will try to keep those things out at first when that grace begins. Perhaps a minor resistance. But eventually, when God is coming into your life, eventually his love and his power are so real that that victim just lays flat saying, okay, what do you want me to do? I'm waiting for orders. Christ knows how to conquer the human heart. That's what he was doing here with Saul. Human hearts that are touched by the Father want to be conquered in this way. They yield. They yield. Not because they're being given to the Son by the Father in that moment, but because they were given to him before the foundation of the world. Those that were given to the Son, they're going to come to the Son. All that the Father gives me will come to me. The Father had given Saul to Jesus. Thousands of years before the world began. The preaching of the gospel is merely the means by which God does what he intends to do and has intended for eons. It's not a new thing with him. Oh, look how good that little boy is. Think I'll bless him. No, he had already decided who was going to be there. Consider. Saul was not looking for Jesus. He was trying to kill Jesus again. Jesus had been trying to call him and to get through to him. That's how it works. Jesus comes to you first. Saul wasn't trying to feel something. Saul was on a mission to oppose this Jesus. What an unlikely candidate for salvation, unless, of course, your name is on a list that was created before the world. Am I repeating myself too much? Perhaps some need to hear it more than once. This story makes no sense in the light of many of our evangelistic efforts today. Think it all through. And know this, you're not going to create some other Saul in our own day. You're going to make a target now of the worst person you can find, or the leader of the worst thing that's against Jesus. That's who I'm after. Yeah. No, it's not going to work. God has called a few of these people, and he'll keep calling them. The point is that God calls whom he wills. Trying to explain the why and the wherefore only leads to confusion. Targeting this group or that group because of their likeliness, or now you might be thinking their unlikeliness. I'm going to go after the most unlikely. No, you're going to walk in the Spirit, and God's going to lead you to whomever. And you're not going to renege on any of those deals. If that person is before you and wants to talk about Jesus, and you're sure maybe that you should open the conversation, that you just follow that. And we preach, we spread the word around. The seed falls on some good ground sometime. You know, targeting this group or that because of their likeliness to convert is fruitless. Many persecutors of Christians continue their persecution and kill believers quite successfully, and you'll never get them to stop. Many Peters go on fishing for fish, and they don't care at all for your Jesus. You see a fisherman, you see a great important man. Boy, I'd like to have him. What a great businessman he is. What a great business he could do in the church. And not to feed off the people. I don't mean that. He's powerful. He knows how to win souls. He would be so good. And you just start thinking humanly. Got to have that person. God doesn't think like that. God has a list. You preach to everybody, and the list will come. There are no rules when it comes to the grace of God. No human rules. Our job is simply to preach the gospel. Let God do the drawing, and he will. Remember the text, "You has he made alive who were dead?" When God's life overshadows a person, death itself can't resist his will. Saul was essentially dead. And in a moment, he was claimed by Jesus, and new life entered, and Saul had nothing to do with it. But wait a minute, you say? Aha, I got one for you. What about the rich young ruler? He wanted Jesus. He really wanted Jesus, and Jesus put a roadblock in front of him. He came to Jesus, but Jesus cast him out. Uh-huh. What are you doing with your John 6:37 then? Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Wait a minute. Jesus wasn't calling this man. Did you see Jesus? No. It doesn't say that. It says this man came to Jesus. And though Jesus did love him, and you could just see that, perhaps the frustration type of love inside, when you know you'd love to give yourself to someone, but that someone really ultimately is not interested in you. It looks like that in the context of the story. But ultimately, the rich young ruler was interested in himself. Yes, Jesus loved him. Ultimately, he doesn't want to reject any man. I mean, ultimately, and you get back into the heart of God when it all started. Do you think God just created men so he could destroy? No, he gave them their chance. They didn't want him. He knew, Jesus did, that this man had already used his free will, like all other men, to choose against God. Though he seemed so righteous outwardly, this man had another God. And he worshipped that God fervently. There was no room in his heart of hearts for the message Jesus preached to him. Jesus didn't create this man's problem by telling him that he had to do something else. He thought he had kept all the commandments. Jesus gave him another commandment. And so that's how we're saved, through the command? No. No, Jesus gave him that command to expose his heart before the people who might have been around. And for us today, we still are talking about this man and realizing this man's heart was hard. He thought he wanted God, but he didn't want God when he found out what the price was. So he didn't really want him. This man knew Jesus had spoken the truth. That's why he went away in sorrow. Pursuing God by keeping commands is not what it's about. God's heart is placed inside of a man who will truly find him. When Jesus calls a man, that man knows from the inside that he's being called to give everything, and he willingly does it. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very rich man. Now, he was just a man in the crowd, in one sense. He was trying to see the miracle worker. He wasn't planning to confront Jesus, as far as we know. But Jesus knew this was one that had been given to him. He called him out of the tree where he was watching Jesus, and then invited himself, Jesus did, to his home. Salvation came to that house that day. Why Zacchaeus, and not the rich young ruler? The heart of the former was invaded by God. The heart of the latter was not. You must be born from above, or you can't see the kingdom of God. Notice again that in the gospel, whomever Jesus calls comes, right? When he called somebody, they came to him. They were his. That's the clue that we need to see. Only those that the Father is drawing will come. Even now, they'll know they're being called. You'll be standing in the marketplace, perhaps, on the street, and I hope more of you will get out to where the people are and start preaching to them. Why not? You'll be preaching along and maybe not doing too great a job of it. Maybe you're not too experienced. Maybe you're shaking with fear. Shouldn't be. But you're out there giving out the word of God. And 99 out of 100 of those people in front of you will walk away or laugh or throw something. One guy's out there troubled by it all. That's the one that God has on his list. And he's using you to bring him in. No, God won't bring him in by himself. That irresistible grace is proclaimed by you, the street preacher, or whatever. Only those that the Father calls will come, even now. God calls whom he wills, and whom he wills, what's it say, Paul? He hardens. Oh God, it's difficult to say that. Lord Jesus, help us to understand. But I'm standing with Paul, a great apostle, in saying it. As awful as it sounds to my ears and yours, I've got to say it. Whom he wills, he hardens. What must we conclude? No man truly wants God unless God has first dealt with his heart. This is what caused the disciples to question, well, who then can be saved? Are there many who will be saved? Indeed, the number is a lot smaller than we have imagined. This bothers you? This amazes you? Surprises you? Think Noah. Think Noah. One family. Out of how many in that world? Noah found what? Grace. There it is again. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if he found it, must have been God had put it out there for him to find. Noah. 8 people out of the world chosen by God. The rest hardened. Why couldn't he have put his grace on this person, that person that was in that crowd trying to get in? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, they were all corrupt, but Noah lived in that same world. Why did he find grace? And they didn't. Think Joshua and Caleb, out of all of Israel, permitted to enter the promised land, out of that original group that came out of Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb. They had a heart for God. I wonder if you can see now how they got that heart. God's grace was upon them. God's call was upon them. Paul quotes Hosea in Romans 9, 25, 26, a saying that one day he, God, is going to call those who were not his people, his people. It's that simple. There are many surprises still in store from the grace of God. Maybe some of these Muslims that are doing these crazy things in the world right now, God will just speak to them. I hear that they're having dreams. God is appearing to them and putting his grace in their heart. They're surely not seeking after him. They've never been told to. But as we make our rounds in the preaching of the gospel, God will suddenly speak within people's hearts and they'll know, I'm one of his. Huh. I'm one of his. I truly do want to follow this Jesus. I don't get it. I shouldn't want to. My parents didn't. My culture didn't. I've barely heard about this, but I want to follow him. Jesus will save them on the spot. Oh, yeah. We're not the Savior of the world. You're not the Savior of the world, dear evangelist. He is. He'll do it. He'll change the stubborn heart as we put his truth out there where it can be reached. That leaves us with only one more point and no time at all. So that next point we begin next time, final one, Tulip. P, perseverance. Perseverance. Will you hang on to the end? Or do you have to worry about this just about every day? Tune in. I'm looking for something and I will find it. And there it is. All right. We will continue tomorrow with that and we'll wrap it up early next week. And we'll do a little thing on the Quran, kind of a rehash of some things I've already talked about. We'll do some Charles Spurgeon. And whatever, as the Lord leads. Yeah, we'll probably take a break somewhere in there for the holiday. Why not? Don't forget Acts 26:14. And this is for you, you unsaved person that might be listening today, but very curious and very wondering, could it be me? Yeah, it's hard for you to kick against the goad.